Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Hey everybody, I'm Chris Fafalius, and I'm the producer of Krista Makes a Podcast and the host of the One Hit Thunder podcast.
And I'm Matt Kelly, host of Horror Movie Night and the producer slash the head of content for the Geekscape Podcasting Network.
Between the two of us, we have, believe it or not, 25 years of podcasting experience, and we want to help you start your own podcast.
We know podcasting, and we want to share that knowledge with you.
So whether you're new to podcasting or you want some feedback on your currently active podcast, we want to help.
Or perhaps you're just overwhelmed with all of the editing work. Well, we can help you with that also.
You can check out our website at weknowpodcasting.com for more information.
We're excited to help your podcasting dreams become a reality.
The musical.
The series.
Yes!
Again, for our millionth episode.
Yeah.
Talking about it.
So we're going to talk about where we're at in season two. At the time of recording, 3 episodes. By the time this comes out, 4 or 5. Real quick, I want to throw this out to the two of you. Given that we've talked to Julia twice, do you feel a weird attachment to Ashlyn's character and story more than anybody now?
I was screaming at the second episode when they did the like trio dance. I was I was at the edge of my fucking seat. I was like, I'm so proud of her.
So I watched 1 and 2, and then Kathleen texted me and was like, do you want to watch 3? And I was like, sure. Because it was my birthday.
It was her birthday. She's 28, bitch.
Yeah. And so then Kathleen was like, should I watch it all and then we'll watch 3 together? And I was like, nah, fuck it. We'll just watch all 3. I mean, they're fucking 20 minutes. It's a breeze.
We were in for the night anyway.
But they fly by. So.
Yeah.
And it also took us like 4 hours because we kept pausing it and talking to each other. Yeah. But yeah, we were so proud of Ashlyn's character. So much growth. Same with Courtney.
Well,
we'll get into it, but I mean, I think most improved right now has to go to Gina. Like the power of friendship for Gina starting off this season is 100%. Phenomenal.
I'm actually really glad we started with Ashlyn though, because incredible. Like
everything.
Incredible. They feel so grown up to me now.
I just got chills thinking about her singing Belle.
Episode 1, there's not a ton that I have to unpack. Episode 2 is the one that I have like 15 notes about, because I think that's the best of the 3 right now.
That's the audition episode, right? Yeah. Yeah, so good. And I just want to say I'm so glad it's Beauty and the Beast, because I'm not like a Disney girl, but my beach house with my friends 2 years ago or 3 years ago we put that movie on once and all we did was sing Belle for the rest of the summer. Like all the boys, it was like we put on a performance 18 times a day. And so that song during the audition is just like, it lives in my soul, my heart, my soul. It's so fucking good.
If I was going to have one complaint though, and I said this to Julie earlier, I wish that they didn't release the teaser of them singing Be Our Guest, because I went into the season knowing that they were going to do Beauty and the Beast versus so? If we went into it thinking like I almost want it to have the same level of excitement as everyone else in the show does when they find out that they're not doing High School Musical 2. Like it's all this build up, but like we already know what it's building up towards as an audience versus like not knowing that information. Yeah. I think would have been fun. But I mean, that is like the most minor pet peeve of what is turning out to be a very good season so far.
Yeah, and what I had said to Matt too was I think the reason that they released it was like to keep people
hype
about the new season.
I agree with that because I don't think they actually planned on doing that. In episode one, when they're at the party and Carlos just keeps being like, everyone knows we're doing High School Musical too. Like, yeah. I feel like they were trying to trick us as well, but it's like, we already know you're not. So why is this a plot point? But
that's what I mean. Yeah. I feel like that kind of ruined that plot point, which I'm glad you mentioned Carlos because he is the MVP of this season in my mind. He is so fucking funny.
I can't even say I have a favorite. Like, I love them all so much that, like,
I got two that I love,
even
and it's
Seb.
It's Carlos and Big Red just are crushing it this season.
Well, I just think that they know like what a deep bench they have now, and it's not the Nene and Ricky show anymore, which is great.
It's kind of their storyline is the one I'm the least invested in.
Okay, so let's say it. Do we think that the writers changed the season based on like the turmoil between Olivia and Joshua? Because
they're barely in scenes together.
I loved that episode. I was like, and that song that I play at the end,
the closing song
is
and
really
maybe
fucking
Matt
good.
Can help us with our mystery. We're not going to ask it yet.
Yeah, like the plot point of episode 3, I think, was genius. I loved that they kept missing each other, and Olivia was always going to be elsewhere.
Yeah,
but I think that they're going to continue to be near misses and then break up.
Yeah, so let me give you some background on the Joshua and Olivia situation. I am so fucking invested. I send Kathleen TikToks daily. Of fan theories.
Mm-hmm.
And we can only believe that they're true. Once Sour came out,
we'll get into Sour,
we'll
too.
We'll get into Sour.
Good God.
Once Sour came out, I was like, that all of them are true.
I know, and I hate to say this because I really like love the show. It is tainting Ricky a little bit for me because I was a Ricky stan.
Mm.
And I mean, I still think he's cute. Like, there's nothing wrong with him. Like,
I love him. We're not haters.
Absolutely not.
We just think Team Olivia.
Yeah.
We kept saying this watching. Like, you guys know I was ready to leave my marriage for Joshua Bassett.
But now she
realized it was just for Ricky.
Yeah, I realized that I was now truly in love with Ricky.
Yeah.
I mean, that I love you scene. I made Kathleen watch it.
Yeah, we watched it. As soon as we finished episode 3, she's like, come on.
Let's just remember happy times.
Yeah.
But I am girl power Team Olivia. She is a queen, and we watched her grow as an artist.
We did.
Oh, for
as
sure.
being High School Musical fans from the start when it came out.
I hope she remembers where she came from and sticks with it, because I hope she doesn't just bounce and not do
season 3.
Because she is huge. I have never seen a star rise this fast.
She has 3 songs on the Billboard.
I know. And I'll tell you right now,
charts.
Like, if I said this to Julie, I was like, if you were to have told us a year ago when we were doing recordings and like interviewing Julia, whatever it be, it's like Olivia Rodrigo is going to be the biggest thing ever. Blow my fucking mind. Mm. No way.
And you know why? It's because, well, one, she's just so talented, but everybody fucking loves a good breakup song, and she
is
punching us in the face with the breakup songs. Like, bravo.
I've got some theories on that too, but we'll get into that when we talk about
the album. All right, let's talk about episode one.
So episode one, pretty simple setup. It's winter break.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to figure out what the next show is going to be. Everyone's convinced it's High School Musical 2, and then they find out that it's Beauty and the Beast. A few of the things that jumped out to me in this specific episode was, A, I love the Disney Easter eggs. I love the fact that it's the Alan Menken Award, which is awesome. Alan Menken is the person who wrote the music for like all of the biggest Disney movies. He did Aladdin, he did Beauty and the Beast, he did Little Mermaid, he did Hercules, he did The Lion King. And his first ever musical was Little Shop of Horrors, which is why in a later episode he says this is the most romantic song he's ever written since Suddenly Seymour. Like, mm-hmm. he is a musical theater god. So, yeah. like, I love that they're just like, we're going to make up this fake award and we're going to name it after the guy who's, like, the most famous Disney composer.
Yep, right.
So that this totally makes sense that we're doing all these Disney songs. Yep. The only thing that I could think of in this is, A, the perfect gift song. Is fantastic.
Yeah, so cute. So cute. I hate that I love it so much.
I
oh my
hate
God.
That I love it too. No it's
it
a
is,
really.
It is so
I can only
cute.
Give you the second best gift because the perfect gift is you. That is a sweet ass line.
That is a very that sweet line. And we know line. That from the album. Like, we knew that song from the album.
But yeah. I actually, like, enjoyed watching how it unraveled. Like, we didn't 100%. Know. We didn't technically know that that was going to be in the first season.
I know.
Just thought that was, or the second
like
season. We just thought it was a Christmas song.
I did love opening Something in the Air. It was nice to revisit.
Absolutely.
But I was going to say that when you were like, I really wish this came out in the fall or winter.
Yeah.
Because I agree.
I mean, I said a similar thing to you about Wynonna when, like, the Halloween episode was airing in June. Yeah. Like, that's like the, probably the... as far as TV goes, the shittiest part about COVID is that we're getting all these seasons that are
out
completely
whack.
Out of whack.
Yeah.
I do have, I think I told Julie this, that I have a theory that they are absolutely taking a dig at how cringy the Bet on It scene is in High School Musical 2 with these awkward performances that no one likes of Ricky doing Bet
Julie
on It.
Julie was dying
like
next to me.
I could not hear or watch him do that again. I literally told Kathleen, like, when it came in, like, when the first scene came on of him doing it, like, yeah. I was like, you're gonna die, you're gonna
we're all
this.
Big red.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Watching him.
Like, Kathleen was like, no, this is funny because, like, it's, like, horrible in High School Musical 2 when he does that. But then it's like, you watch it again, like, he walks in the house and he's doing it, like, yeah. And I'm just like, holy
fuck.
And then
fuck. He fucking auditions with it and gets the beast.
I did have one quote that I had to write down, which is from my boy Carlos, where
always.
He's freaking out and they say, use your quiet voice. And he goes, I'm Mexican and gay. This is my quiet voice.
Yeah, we laughed at
that. That is a fantastic line.
I love him and Seb, and I follow both of them on Instagram, and I'm assuming that they date in real life.
Maybe. I don't know.
They're so cute. We love
they
them.
They are so cute. We're obsessed with them.
Based on the Christmas thing, I would say yes.
Yeah.
So I would say I love them and I do. Oh my God, they're the best. I need them to get this money thing settled. It's giving me anxiety.
Oh my
God. Like
the
fact that Seth doesn't know how to, like, get him presents because Carlos is just, like,
so
showering him with
yeah.
rich gifts. I'm like, I don't like that.
Yeah. But then Seb redeems himself in the third episode.
I don't think he needs redeeming at
not
all. I think Carlos needs to realize that not everyone can do that. Yeah,
but, like, he makes it, like, cute, like, in his own way.
Yeah,
like,
the plant.
Seb is so cute.
The cutest.
So
kidding
cute.
Me?
Like,
he is our Sharpay.
Even in season one where he's late because he had an issue with his cow.
Oh,
like,
well, that's the best scene ever. Love.
So you two are definitely bigger High School Musical fans than myself, as I've only watched any of the movies one time. How did you feel about the High School Musical 2 melody that they do at the party?
So it was cute, for sure. I loved it. I mean, they covered all the big songs.
Yeah.
But when it turns to Ricky and Nene doing You Are the Music in Me.
I mean, Julie was melting. There was just not Julie next to me anymore.
Oh my gosh. And me and Kathleen also talked about, we had a lot of chemistry on Friday. Like, we were, like, finishing each other's sentences. Mm-hmm. It was on point. But if the breakup rumors are true and they date it in real life, fucking bravo A1 actors for doing what they did, like singing to each other like
well,
that.
Let's throw out this theory. We know that they filmed the opening scene in time for the Christmas special, so maybe the first episode was already shot before the breakup, and then the breakup happened starting
possible.
On episode 2.
Episode 2 is when they do the medley, isn't it?
No, it's episode 1 at the party.
Yeah,
well,
I guess
even
that's possible,
so, like,
yeah.
That scene is really incredible, because I kept being like, the acting, like, bravo, because we've talked about Riverdale, how Lily and Cole have to act together, and I'm like, proud of them for it. I'm like, still great act, specifically Lily, like, I can, like, feel the emotions.
Oh my God, I would probably get fired from acting because I mean apart from
a mental
sucking,
breakdown,
but like I would be like,
it's
get
hard.
The fuck away from me.
I mean, them sitting across from each other before he sings the perfect gift song to her, it's the cutest thing ever, and they're just, like, tearing up and being like, oh, I'm like,
yeah,
no. I know. God damn it, Young Love. It sucks.
I'm too invested in this.
Do we want to jump to episode two or do we have anything else from the first episode?
So, yeah, I mean, basically we get introduced also to the new character, which is Derek Hoff. So we get introduced to him. I don't really have feelings about him. Like, well, I just am not crazy about him.
You just saying that made me realize that we get introduced to a new character in every episode so far.
Who's the third?
The guy that works with Courtney at the pizza shop.
Oh, love that.
Yeah.
I cannot wait until they kiss.
Yeah. Oh, they're going to kiss.
Oh, yeah. That's building.
They're going to kiss. Yeah. And then basically Miss Jen switches it up and says Beauty and the Beast at the end. And that's how we know that's what they're doing.
And I like that her reasoning, it's very easy for it to just be, I need to prove this guy that I used to date, prove that I'm better than him or whatever. But like when they do the talking head, she's like, if we win this, one of these kids is going to get this massive grant to like get an opportunity that I didn't get. Like, I love that Mrs. Jen is still full of nothing but like the most pure intentions for the kids. Every single time. All of her decisions are based on that.
Every time Miss Jen was on screen, we were like, we stan.
Yeah.
Love
she's
the haircut,
amazing.
Girl. Yeah.
We also love like her, I don't even know if this was episode, no, I think it was episode one, when she sings in the circle and she's always
that's
like,
that's episode two. That's
oh,
auditions.
Is it two?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's jump into episode two because I love the auditions.
I think that this is the, so far, this is my favorite episode of the three, is the audition episode. First of all, we get Disney bounding mentioned, which I think is so, do
What's
either
that?
Of you know what Disney bounding is?
No.
Okay. So in it, this is when Ashlyn is still aiming to be Mrs. Potts and she shows off her dress and she's like, yeah, I Disney bound. It's a thing. So Disney bounding is that Disney has a very strict rule that people cannot cosplay as characters at the park because it creates a confusion over who's like actual park employees and who's someone cosplaying. So people have created a term called Disney bounding where you wear a color scheme of the character. So like people will get a dress that say like, say they wanted to go as Dory. Right. They would get a dress that is the exact color of Dory. And then they would sew Dory's face to like the bottom of the dress.
So they're not wearing.
So they're
the
not
costume.
Dressed as Dory, but they're like at the park cosplaying as Dory. Okay. So that was her. She's like she Disney bounds as Mrs. Potts.
That is. I'm glad you explained that because I thought that was cute, but I remember not being like, I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
But let's just say that for this audition, I'm so glad that they decided to have NeNe go away because that opens up. I didn't need another NeNe and Ricky led play or musical. I needed her to be gone to open it up for someone like Ashlyn to get Belle.
Yeah.
Like that's fucking incredible. And her storyline being
not feeling like she's. We'll get into that with episode three because Big Red has the most romantic quote that has ever been said on this show.
Yeah, he has all of them.
He's so cute.
He's a sweetheart. But I do have another Carlos line that I wrote down that comes up in this episode, which is when Ricky shows up late to the audition and he goes, oh, are we doing Mamma Mia too? Because here we go again.
Oh, I missed that. I didn't even catch that quote. Yeah. I loved the auditions. I love like hearing all their beautiful voices. They're all so talented. We get introduced to Lily, who's going to be like the previous Gina, but like 10 times worse. She's like kind of like so mean. I don't like it.
She's a terrible character. But goddamn, can she sing?
She can sing. Like, so what I was saying earlier is when freaking Ashlyn, Julia Lester, our girl, she sings like the isn't
you better
this
stop
amazing? Oh my god, I could listen to it on repeat.
They all just burned it down. I mean, perfection.
Yeah.
I'm mad that Ricky got the Beast. He didn't deserve to get the Beast. Yeah,
we weren't understanding Ricky's auditioning. It was so bad that like I don't know what
I think. So here's my theory.
Like, was he trying to blow it on purpose?
No, I think that he's awkward and weird. But I think what
awkward
ended up
and weird.
Yeah, I think what ended up happening, honestly, is Ricky got the role of the Beast not because of his audition.
Because of the Big Red thing.
Because he ran to Big Red's side. Yeah. And I think that like Miss Jen, I like that her casting is based on like who actually embodies the characteristics of the characters that they're going to play and having faith that she can like pull the talent that she needs out of them after the fact. Mm-hmm. And I mean, oh my God, if there was any point where I got choked up for a second, it was Big Red slipping, doing his tap dance, and the girl laughing at him, and Rick running to his side immediately. Mm-hmm. I was just like, oh my God.
it hit me so hard. I fucking hate watching like people get laughed at and shit on shows. It kills me. I hate it. People are so mean. Mm-hmm. But yes, and then we watch him redeem himself when Ricky gets him up, and then he fucking crushes.
Yeah,
I'm
so
like,
cute.
And I don't know anything about tap dancing, and Kathleen was a tap dancer and just a dancer in general. So I'm like, was that good?
Wait, yeah, boy, what? He's really, he's very talented, that Larry boy.
Which we like learn about the actor in the Christmas special and how he's done like tap his whole life.
I'm glad they did that because at the very end of season one, he has that whole scene when he kisses Ashlyn, but right before that, he taps his fucking face off. So talented.
I like that. I mean, like you said, you stand for Jen. Like when she's talking to Lily in the hallway and she's just like, you're really talented, but around here, we don't laugh at people. When we fall, we celebrate them for trying. And it's just like, oh, fucking, this is why I like, this is like, we've talked about this before with other shows, like with Ted Lasso, but like this is just like good vibes the show.
Yeah.
Like it just fills me with like good optimistic vibes. And it's like, yeah, I'm not a fan of Lily, but she ain't gonna ruin this good vibe.
Mm-hmm. Like, I was like so bummed that, and I don't know why I was surprised that they went the route where Ricky like wasn't gonna do the show.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I should have guessed that was gonna be like, if Nene wasn't gonna do it, I'm like, please.
I love
do
the
it.
Teacher calling him out on it too. He's like, well, that doesn't surprise me. You don't really commit to anything.
Oh my God, yeah. Like, yeah, he's just like, you're a fucking flake, dude. Yeah.
I do like too that Nene like encouraged him to do it. Because, like,
I just don't believe in them anymore.
I don't know. I mean,
I hate it.
We know too much.
We know too much.
But I also, I'm curious to see what happens with Nene. Because right now you can tell she's, like, having trouble at the school she's at. Like, just, like, finding herself and, like, trying to be different where they are so by the books of, like, no, this is what it is. Mm-hmm. This is what we do at this school.
But it feels like she's got a friend in that one teacher.
She said, this is what you should be focusing on.
Yeah.
And she's, gave her the song.
She's basically like, here's the alma mater, fucking figure it out, bitch, is how I took that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
In not such harsh terms, of course, but she's the one who recruited Nene, and she's like, I think they sent her in to be like, go get your girl. Like, this girl is wilding out. Go get her and put her, like, here's the alma mater, read it. That's why I think Nene was seemed so fucking depressed singing that alma mater at the end
of
that episode.
I love the end of the episode with that depressing ass ukulele alma mater while it's cutting to all of her friends getting those cupcakes with what characters they got casted in.
And I'll
that's
tell you
some
what,
cinematography right there.
That is, and I'll tell you, like, being in Nutcrackers in my life and recitals and whatever, like, even or after a show, whatever it is, that's the funnest part. Like, going out with your friends, getting pizza, eating cupcakes.
The after parties for even Sun Valley's Drama Club were some of the best nights of my high school experience.
Oh my God, variety show? Yeah, fucking CN Skate Palace afterwards?
I mean, just incredible. And, like, I felt for Nene when she was watching that, being like, especially just, like, dorky show kids, man.
Yeah.
And, like,
as we watched this, I just kept saying to Kathleen, like, why weren't we in fucking theater?
Yeah, she did say
like,
that.
Like, it just really upsets me. Like, I'm like, it just looks so fun.
Even I did theater.
I
had too many sports.
Could you picture me trying out for theater?
Had it for Stardom.
Yeah.
Like, oh, my God.
I didn't even have a singing role when I did Little Shop. I was just doing, like, a small one-scene part.
Yeah,
and I still had to do a singing audition where they brought in, it was all the guys had to sing A Whole New World.
Did you just sing by yourself?
No, like as a group.
Oh, I was going to say,
group,
I would
we had
shit
to, so,
myself.
So we stood around the piano, and as a group, we'd sing, and then Kaz would point to one of us, and then everyone else would have to stop, and that person would have to sing solo for a couple beats, and then it would go to the next person.
No.
Damn.
Yeah.
Don't like
that. That was just literally for me to have five lines of dialogue on stage.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'd be like, no.
A whole new world.
Don't you dare close your eyes.
I like the parts everyone got, though. Who did Gina get again? She's choreographer in what?
She's
the duster,
the feather duster.
Yeah.
Nice.
So I like a bragging moment that I guessed who was getting what roles, even though Kathleen didn't watch on time. I really wanted her to guess. And then I tried to get her to guess before they announced it, and she wouldn't.
So what had happened was, is I was like, ooh, I want to guess. And then Julie paused it, and I was like, actually, no, I need to know what they get now.
Yeah.
Like, hit play.
I was like, guess. And she wouldn't. Well, so I guessed all of them right except Ashlyn and Gina. I thought they were going to be swapped to, you know, do the Gina-Ricky kind of thing.
Yeah.
But I'm glad that they didn't do that. I'm
no,
glad
I mean,
that it's
still,
Ashlyn.
They're still dabbling in the Gina story, but not in the show.
Oh my God, right. Gina sending off that risky text to Ricky,
and it was her mom. Oh, you hate to see it. That was episode
Let's jump
three.
Into episode three, the Valentine's Day episode.
Yeah, I thought it was genius the way they did this episode with them missing each other and like Nene singing in the front lawn and that girl popping up. It was so funny because Nene's incredible. Olivia Rodrigo, dude. Jesus.
What did she say to her?
What are you doing?
That's it. Who are you being? Oh,
so
my
funny.
God.
I like died laughing at
that. Nene is the best. Just to go through like the couples and what each character has going on for those that aren't a couple, but Ricky and Nene are trying to surprise one another. So Ricky goes to Denver to surprise Nene, and Nene goes back home to surprise Ricky, and they both wrote each other love songs and they keep missing each other.
Who
Classic.
Lets a 17-year-old kid get on a bus from Utah to fucking...
I mean, his parents don't really pay that much attention to him. I feel like it's probably fine.
I do love that the girl at her school was like writing your own song and performing it. Like
everybody does that.
Yeah, everyone does that. This is a theater school.
I mean, how does a 17-year-old get on a bus and go to Denver? This same episode, Gina shows up and he's like, do you want anything to eat? We have cereal and nothing.
Yeah, I mean...
He's a latchkey kid right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm so glad they said to Nene, like, or they had Nene say the line, I can't believe I didn't know you moved.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck? That's so weird. Like, I get it for the plot. It was funny for the plot, but I don't know.
No, but that's, I mean, I think that further shows that they're falling apart. Agreed. Because this is episode three, but it's Valentine's Day already, and the first episode was before New Year's. So, at least 2 months have passed in these three episodes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the absolute sweetest line possibly in this show's entire history. I'm sorry, Ricky's I love you speech, but Ashlyn telling Big Red that she doesn't feel like she's the right person to play Belle. And he's like, you're scared? You should be the princess for everything.
I know.
I'm just like, Big Red. Oh my God.
Oh, and he doesn't even know how sweet he is.
No, that's the best part about
him. Yeah. So I guess that gets us into the songs that they write for each other. That's the perfect opening.
It's the perfect end. Like, so, that song's so
here's
good.
Here's what we're
Hold
doing.
On. So, okay. Yeah, I'm going to play the song. I'm going to play a clip from the song.
Do I say my thing first or no? Is it going to taint people?
No, don't say your thing
first.
Okay.
Basically, what we're going to do is pluck Ricky's part. And I guess you could just play Ricky's part is on Spotify.
I'm just going to play the song.
That's fine.
Okay.
But pluck Ricky's part, and that's the part where, like, this sounds just like another song.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Death Cab for Cutie, I Will Follow You Into the Dark.
Yeah. Wait. hit pause already.
Yeah, play it back real quick.
But
that's not what we're questioning.
That's what we're talking about.
Oh, I was going to say the guitar is 100% I Will Follow You Into the Dark by Death Cab. All right, play him singing. Sorry. I mean, the first half reminds me of As I Lay Me by Sophie B. Hawkins.
I
lay me down
to sleep. No, I was going to say.
wait.
So I lay. That's what I thought of.
Wait.
Wait. Hold on. Are you going to play what we thought it was? Because I have it on my phone.
This is what I guessed. Chaos. But I'm right,
no,
too.
No, you're right. I think that it sounds like a lot of songs.
Yeah,
like,
it's a very popular melody
line.
But
when Kathleen said it, because I was like, Kathleen, like, what does this song sound like? Because it's like a definitely, like, I was thinking like a second hand serenade song.
Yeah. No, it's I could hear like a dashboard song.
But
like
Kathleen
this.
Said this one and we were dying and then we couldn't stop hearing it. Like,
Oh, I was going to say, this sounds like Danny Elfman. So I think he did Polar Express. I mean, you're right.
Trying to see what As I Lay Me Down is in, but it's just Dawson's Creek.
In my
Can't
head,
be true.
In my head, it sounded just like that. Well, I'm glad that Matt figured it out.
if you're trying to figure out what As I Lay Me is from, it according to Wiki, it's in Now and Then as well as Party of Five.
Jesus, that's it, Now and Then.
And she sings it in Community at the episode where Sophie B. Hawkins plays the school dance.
Yes.
I still think it's a secondhand serenade song. I just got to find out which one. But regardless, great fucking song.
Great song.
So far, love it in terms of an original song.
The only other two notes that I have written down with this episode is A, Courtney just belting out Beauty and the Beast in the office while Ashlyn and Big Red slow dance.
Oh.
And then the post credits Big Red like weird rap dance song that he
with
wrote
Ashlyn,
is pretty great too.
Yeah. I just thought that was so incredible that they took the time to do that. It's just one of those things that's like extra money, extra time, fun, cute.
So this is the thing. This season they've done a lot of that. Like, cuz the first season, think about it, like all the songs that we loved in the first season were like Julia sitting at a piano or like Nene sitting in her bedroom. But like in this season, we have that big elaborate group song to kick off the first episode.
Yes.
We have when Ashlyn's about to do the trio, she describes what the image of the music video should be. And then it flashes to them in like the sequin dresses doing the crazy
music
video.
Can we talk about how I was acting during that? Because I was like shocked.
Oh my God.
I was literally at the edge of the couch just being like, this is fucking incredible.
Yeah. And she just kept being like, she looks amazing.
Yeah.
She looks amazing. Like talking about all of them. All three of them.
So amazing and so talented. Yeah. And I'm like, this must have been the funnest thing ever to shoot.
Yeah.
I'm going to rewatch that episode, I think.
The audition episode is like, that is probably the episode I could see myself just going back and watching over and over and over again just for that performance of Belle.
Yeah.
Like, I was in love with that episode.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Audition episodes are always so good.
They're so good.
Because you get like a little bit of, you get a taste of everybody.
Yeah.
Okay, we must talk about how that kid auditioned with Wondering.
Yeah.
And she was like tearing up and just being like
standing
up, ovation.
Yeah.
Like, oh my God.
The way they all support each other and just like love each other is just the best.
That's some top-notch friendships.
I think we
writing.
Love it so much because we follow all of them on Instagram and you can tell that like they are all best friends in real life too.
I mean, Julia told us that it is like that. Like on the days that she had her big Wondering scenes or whatever, they were, everyone was there just cheering her on in the background.
Oh.
I mean, you grow up in musicals and you want to be an actress. You don't always get to do a musical show.
No.
Like, this is the best of both worlds. And especially for our girl, Julia, she is just a rising star.
Yeah,
so let's talk about the current rising star that
Olivia
is
Rodrigo.
That is Olivia and Sour, because you talked about how it's a breakup album, which it undeniably is. It is a lot of breakup tracks. So I've heard this theory, and this is how I've been listening to it, which is the concept that if you include All I Want, there's 12 songs. And that her and Joshua's relationship was never confirmed. So it's pitching that the name Sour is actually an anagram for stages of an unofficial relationship. And it's going through the beginning of that relationship with All I Want to realizing that it's not a real relationship and everything falling apart. And then it ends on that, I hope you're okay song when she's come to the acceptance that this relationship is over.
So I saw a theory and I texted her this, that similar thing. Like it's all about like the beginning of a breakup and being like sour about it. And just like everything that happened, like, for instance, like Traitor, I think it's like second song. And that's like when him and Sabrina Carpenter became friends.
And then like, that goes right in the driver's license.
Yeah, the whole thing. And then Hope That You're Okay is like her getting like sweet about everything.
Yeah.
Like she's like moving on or whatever.
You're saying that they never actually dated.
Yeah, no, I was saying like that they did date and the album was like about their breakup. And then the ending song is Hope You're Okay because she's like better about it.
Yeah. Which is how they were able to act with each other in scenes again.
Right.
Before I listened to a single note of it, I hopped on Twitter and one of the people that I follow on Twitter just wrote, damn, Olivia, you didn't have to start it with such a banger in reference to Brutal.
Mm-hmm.
And God damn, does that song come out of the
gate.
How
many times have we said God is brutal out here to each
God,
other in the past
all the time.
Week? The night it dropped, I was insomnia town. And so it was like 4 a.m. and I realized that I was like on Instagram and I saw Olivia post like 2 hours ago, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, yeah, baby. It's only like 35 minutes long.
It's a quick listen.
Oh, my God.
So I was like, okay. And from 4 to 4:30, I was like, crush it. And I was like, yep, that's our girl.
So then I woke up the next morning and had a text from her at 5 a.m., which is the song, like she sent me the Spotify song, Traitor.
Traitor, yeah. I love Traitor.
Yeah.
Traitor, Enough for You.
Enough for You is the one that hit me.
The three singles are incredible. Yeah. When Driver's License came out, we were instantly obsessed. I mean, like the morning of, we were like, I listened to it 80 times in a row, of course, just like everyone else in the world. Yep. Good for You is an immediate screamo banger. I'll be singing until I'm 50 and making my kids listen
to it. Amazing.
And then Deja Vu, I kind of like glossed over, I think, a little bit, but damn, is that song hit too. The sentiment of Deja Vu is also just incredible. Yeah. Like, I'm like, this is a savage song.
Yeah, like, can you imagine being the new girlfriend just being, like
yes, yep, yes, yep, yes, I do listen to Billy Joel. like he did take me to that place. Oh,
yeah.
My.
The reason why Enough for You hit so hard for me is, like, that's the one where I'm listening to those lyrics. I'm like, man, I fucking relate to this, where you just never feel like you're good enough for the people that you're around.
I also just wanted to say that even though we were going back and forth with our theories, not even our theories, other people's theories, that we're like, oh, fuck, that kind of makes sense.
Yeah.
We don't give a shit about who it's about.
No,
okay?
It's just a good-ass
album.
Power
to Olivia Rodrigo, because this is a fire fucking album.
This is a fantastic
I
debut
love
album,
specifically. Every single song, but my top ones are Traitor, because... God, that hits.
Yeah.
Happier is so good.
Yeah.
Happier is so, so good. I text Kathleen, I think, three times just being like, Happier is amazing. And Favorite Crime.
I knew you were going to say that.
All the things I did. I truly have not stopped listening to that album.
Me neither. I listen
to it constantly. If you see me driving, you could probably bet your life I'm listening to her album.
Olivia clenched the number one spot on my Spotify Wrap this year. Hands down.
All right. So do we have any other thoughts on the High School Musical kids?
No, I can't wait for the rest of the season, though. Yeah. It's going to be 10 episodes, I assume.
Probably.
Yeah.
I think actually don't trust me, because I was wrong about Cruel Summer.
Cruel Summer. Matt told us we're getting 6 episodes.
I said 7 because that's what Wiki said. But right now Wiki says 13 for this season.
Oh, okay. Cool. Oh, I love that.
I love more rather than less.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
Love that.
Is there going to be like a weird battle? Because obviously the blonde girl is now going to be Derek Huff's like star of the show because she's moving.
Yeah, fucking bitch.
I mean, here's the thing. She's a bitch.
The Cappies.
But if I get to hear her beautiful voice singing Part of Your World from Little Mermaid, I'm fine with that. Because
is that what they're doing? I forget.
Yeah,
I
they're doing Little Mermaid.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Me too.
I think it's
going to
be good. And, you know, so far they haven't let us down.
Lit.
All right.
Love y'all.
Watch High School Musical, the musical, the series. How have we not sold you on this yet?
On Disney+.
Disney+. $7.99. Maybe $6.
This has been My Favorite Episode Of. My Favorite Episode Of is produced by Matt Kelly as part of the Geekscape Network and hosted by Julie and Kathleen. Check out our show notes for all of our socials and email us at myfavoriteepisodepodcast@gmail.com. Rate, review, and subscribe to us on your favorite podcasting apps, and we'll be back next week with a new episode of My Favorite Episode Of.
After graduation, Marianne went out looking for a bright new world. Wanda looked all around this town and all she found was Earl.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network. You're listening to the Geekscape Network.